am the Lord, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of bondage.
You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear.
Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident.
One thing have I asked of the Lord, that I will seek after,
that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple.
For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble.
He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning, and though we deserve only punishment, you receive us as your children and provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Lent is from the fourth book of Moses, called Numbers, the 21st chapter. From Mount Hor, they set out by way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food, there is no water, and we loathe this worthless food." Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses, and they said, "We have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he takes the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent, and he set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
They cried to the Lord in their trouble,
and he delivered them from their distress.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so,
whom he has redeemed from every trouble,
and gathered in from the lands,
from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south.
Some wandered in the desert wastes,
finding no way to a city to dwell in,
hungry and thirsty,
their soul fainted within them.
Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble,
and he delivered them from their distress.
He led them by a straight way,
till they reached a city to dwell in.
Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love,
for his wondrous works to the children of men.
For he satisfies the longing soul,
and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
They cried to the Lord in their trouble,
and he delivered them from their distress.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, the second chapter. "You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. We were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our own trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up in him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son,
that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Jesus said, As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out in God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is our text. The world. 8 verses, 5 times it's mentioned. The world. Ho cosmos in the Greek. The cosmos. And here in John chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, Jesus just keeps circling around the world with his words. He pictures the cosmos like a precious treasure in the hand of God. The Father regards the world with such tenderness. He gently turns it to see it from another angle. Whatever our relationship might be with the world, good, bad, indifferent, Jesus focuses on the world and how God relates to it, to this world of ours, this world with you and me in it. So today we're going to consider this from 3 directions, 3 questions. First, what is the world? Second, what is the world to God? And third, what then is the world to us? Just what is the world? From our perspective here on the ground, the world seems like a big place. When you put on your hiking boots, you lace up your running shoes, even 10 miles feels like a long way. And yet in 10 miles, you've hardly covered an inch. This place is big. And then we can think of the world by kneeling down. When you look at just 1 square inch of earth, what do you see? Put it under a microscope, and you see there another whole world, teeming with life, complete and tiny structures, and a complex ecosystem. And then you look up, and what do you see there? The sun, the moon, the stars that God put in place. And up really is something. It's pretty amazing. How far does up go? How big is this universe? Some of you perhaps have been getting the daily email pictures from the James Webb Space Telescope. The cosmos is huge. Spread out with planets, stars, galaxies. And you know, our own Earth looks pretty small, comparatively. More like a piece of cosmic dust when you put it in the big span of things. And then consider us and our lives. As small as the Earth may look compared to the universe, our time is so short. As the Bible puts it, the years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80, yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Or Isaiah, who says, "The grass withers and the flowers fade when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely people are grass." So small, so insignificant. Our big earth, this world, the whole human race, and each of us individuals on it. That alone puts us in our place. But then you consider the world from another angle. You consider the brokenness of the world and the wickedness of mankind. And you say, what is the world? You know what I mean. You read the headlines. You see the news reports, you know the stories, and you've heard the scriptures. It came to mind last Sunday as we were reading the scriptures. It said at the very end that Jesus, on his part, didn't entrust himself
to anyone. He didn't give himself over to anyone, not even to those who seemed to believe, because he knew all people. And he needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. He knew what was in man. I'm not even sure we know what is in man, in ourselves or in others. And then we read in Numbers about the people of Israel, the children of Israel whom God was leading out of slavery in Egypt through the wilderness over 40 years. And what did they do? Express their gratefulness to God? Their thanks for all that he'd done? No. They became impatient on the way. They spoke against God. They spoke against Moses. They said, "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food." Their grumbling was met with fiery serpents. What is the world? To me, the point has been driven home even more by our Bible study on Genesis chapter 6, the flood. You go back to Genesis 6 and read how it describes the world then. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. The earth is filled with violence through them. The cosmos is a big place. The earth is pretty small. And we're even smaller. What is the world? Even this small place, broken by sin and corrupted by wickedness. And if the flood is any indication, God looked at it and said, "I need to start over. It's worth condemnation," or so it seems. What is the world? It may not be a happy place or a pleasant place or an easy place or a good place. But then we come to the second question. What is the world to God? And we see something different in John chapter 3. God, so not hated, not condemned, not judged the world, but God so loved the world. What is the world to God? It is the object of his love. It is the object of his saving work. It is the object of his rich mercy. Sinful and fallen world, yes. Created by God world, yes. Loved by God and redeemed by him, yes. You might say that the world means the world to God. And this is the reason why he sent his son. This is the place where he sent his son. It's an amazing thing. This tiny speck of seemingly cosmic dust filled with violence and wickedness and corruption and sin. And God saw it and he said, "I love it. And I want to save it." God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Sent his only begotten Son into the dust and the violence and the corruption and the wickedness. He did this because he is rich in mercy. It's an amazing thing. God loved the world that we may not find lovable. He sent his son into the world that we might be willing to chuck and get rid of and start over, but he wasn't. The kind of love described here is not just an ordinary kind of human love. The word in Greek for this kind of love is agape. Perhaps you've heard of it. Agape love is the love of God for something. A love that is not deserved, not merited, not earned in any way. It's a love that is not so much about the object of his affection as it is about God himself. He is the one who is filled with this agape love for the world. He does not love the sin. He does not love the brokenness. But he does love his creation. And he does love you, whom he created. And this is what God did out of love for the world. He sent his Son, not only in our human likeness, bearing our human flesh, but he sent his Son into human flesh to die upon the cross. You look on the cross, and you see the love of God for the world. And you see not only the love of God for the world as a whole and for his creation, but you see the love of God for you. Yes, you. No matter the brokenness, no matter the sin, no matter the failures or successes of your life, we can put your name in there. God so loved me. God so loved each of you that he sent his Son for you. What is the world? It may seem like a place not worth saving, but when God said, "What is the world?" he said, "This is what I will send my Son for." And he was lifted up on the cross, like the serpent, the bronze serpent that Moses made in the wilderness, lifted up that everyone who looks on him in faith, everyone who believes what God says about his Son, that he is the Savior of the world, is thus saved through him. For this is what he was given for. Not so much to die as to save. That we might have eternal life in him. And so you do. You are in the world. You are in the world that God loved. You are in the world to which God sent his Son. You are in the world that God desires to save by the death of his only beloved. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our God is rich in mercy. And it is an amazing thing to contemplate not only the smallness of the world, not only the wickedness and sinfulness of the world, but the richness of God's love, which is greater even than that. That he should give his Son for you and for me, his most precious treasure. God looked at the world filled with corruption and violence, and he looked at his Son, and he said, "Son, you know what we need to do. We've got to trade you for that." And so he did. I know the words of John 3:16 are so familiar, we can recite them backwards and forwards by memory, but let's not lose the heart of what they tell us. That God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. What do we have to do to receive this gift? It's nothing. Just believe it. You don't have to do a whole list of works. You don't have to do a whole list of good deeds. You don't have to make God pleased with you. He already loves you in Christ. If he's given his Son for you, is there anything that he will hold back from you? What is the world to God? The object of his love and the object of his saving mercy. And so what is the world to us? The third question that we have. And yes, we can look around at the world and we can see the wickedness and we can see the brokenness and we can see the sinfulness and we sorrow over death. But what is the world to us? It is the place where we experience the grace and mercy of God. It is the place where God's love meets us with forgiveness, life, and salvation. What is the world to us? But what we see right here, the very gateway and door of heaven itself, where we who struggle with the world meet a God who loves the world and loves each one of us. And so the world is also the place, then, the arena for our love, for our works, for others. This is what St. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2. He said, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for what? For good works, that we might walk in them, which God has prepared beforehand. This is the arena where we experience God's mercy and love, and this is the arena in which his love and mercy flows through us to others. Love your neighbor. And we say, but it's hard. My neighbor's not easy to love. I'm not easy to love. God says, love your neighbor. Not their sin, not the evil, not the wickedness, but love them. For I have loved them, and I love you. Love the light, he says, and come out of the darkness. The darkness is all around us, and the darkness is inside of us. Yet as we gather here and know the gift of his Son, he calls us out of darkness into his unfathomable light. How do we respond to the love of God? Not like the children of Israel in the wilderness, who grumbled over God's gifts, but rather with thanks and praise. I mean, what can you do but thank and praise God when you hear that he gave his only Son for you? There is no other response. It's not like we can turn around to God and say, well, God, let me give you something in return. I mean, what can match his only begotten Son? But we give him our thanks and praise. And the world becomes the arena in which we praise him and thank him. If God so loved the world, and we believe that he loved the world by sending his only Son, then when we go out into the world, let's bring those words of thanks and praise with us, so that others can see not us, but our Father in heaven, and come to know him as well. Maybe to bring it full circle, if God so loved a world that seems so tiny and insignificant, if he so loved a world that is broken and fallen, then how can we not but love our neighbor? Because they are not insignificant to him, and so they are not insignificant to us. How can we not but love our neighbor even in their sin and their fallenness and brokenness? For so we have been loved by our God. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today we see what the world is. Not a place of perfect beauty or greatness or flawlessness, but a place that God so loved, and a place now where he has put us that we might know his love in Christ, and we might love even as he has first loved us. Hold fast to this word, to this gospel message, to the good news. For God so loved the world, for God so loved you, that he gave his only begotten Son. And he sent that Son into the world, not to condemn you, but that you and the world might be saved through him. May God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding guards your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Thank you.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Friend in Christ, I urge you all to lift up your hearts to God and pray with me as Christ our Lord has taught us and freely promised to hear us. God, our Father in heaven, look with mercy on us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace that your holy name be hallowed by us and all the world through the pure and true teaching of your word and the fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously turn from us all false doctrine and evil living, whereby your precious name is blasphemed and profaned. Lord, in your mercy. May your kingdom come to us and expand. Protect and preserve pastors in their office. Seek out and restore those who have wandered, and bring all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom to know Jesus Christ, your Son, by faith, that the number of Christians may be increased. Lord, in your mercy. Strengthen us by your Spirit, according to your will, both in life and in death, in the midst of both good and evil things, that our own wills may be crucified daily and sacrificed to your good and gracious will. Into your merciful hands we commend Anne, Joan, Ted, Rich, Shelley, John, Blair, Karen, Kristen, Rick and Teresa, Ron and Mayu, Verity, and all who are in need, praying for them at all times, thy will be done, Lord, in your mercy. Grant us our daily bread, preserve us from greed and selfish cares, and help us trust in you to provide for all our needs. Give our rulers humility and wisdom. Grant peace to our land. Bless our homes. Provide us with good and godly friendships. Grant godly employment to the unemployed and underemployed, and preserve all whose work is difficult or dangerous. With Dave and Janet, we give thanks to you for the birth of Keegan Patrick to Stephanie and Eric. Keep both mother and child in your care, along with all expectant mothers and their unborn children, including Chelsea, Shayla, Jillian and baby Penny, and Liz. Watch over Patrick and Laura and their family. Lord, in your mercy. Forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who sin against us, so that our hearts may be at peace and may rejoice in a good conscience before you, and that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us. Lord, in your mercy. Lead us not into temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Spirit to subdue our flesh, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the devil with all his wiles. Lord, in your mercy. O Heavenly Father, strengthen us through the holy communion of your Son's body and blood, that by it we might receive forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Grant peace and comfort to all who mourn, especially to the Bergeron and Barabee families. And finally, deliver us from all evil of both body and soul, now and eternally. Lord, in your mercy. We trust, O Lord, in your great mercy to hear and answer us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord our God, King of all creation. For you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Grant us your Spirit, gracious Father, that we may give heed to the testament of your Son in true faith, and above all, firmly take to heart the words with which Christ gives to us his body and blood for our forgiveness. By your grace, lead us to remember and give thanks for the boundless love with which he manifested to us when, by pouring out his precious blood, he saved us from your righteous wrath and from sin, death, and hell. Grant that we may receive the bread and wine, that is his body and blood, as a gift, guarantee, and pledge of his salvation. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, at his command and with his own words, we receive his testament. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Reading today is from Jonah chapter 2, starting at the first verse. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried. You heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your bellows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought me to light from the pit. O Lord, my God, when my life was fading away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you, unto your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But with the voice of thanksgiving will sacrifice you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Salvation belongs to the Lord.
Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.